You'll remember last week we looked at the first part of Genesis chapter number 19 and we saw how God sent His two angels into Sodom to basically search out the city because Abraham prayed to God and asked Him that if there were 10 righteous people in Sodom and Gomorrah that He wouldn't destroy the city. And God said, if I find 10 righteous people, I will spare the whole city. I won't destroy the city. So last time we saw that the angels come to Sodom. And basically tonight what we're going to find is the angels find out that there's not even 10 saved people in these cities. So you talk about a city that's basically turned to the devil, turned away from God, and there's not even 10 people that have turned to God. So find your place in verse 13, and that's where we'll start tonight. You'll remember Lot, Abraham's nephew, was here in the city, and this is who the angels are talking to in verse 13. He said, "For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it." And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, "Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city." But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, I like that right there. I underlined that in my Bible. I'm thankful no matter how long the night is, morning's still coming. When the morning arose, the angels hastened Lot, saying, "Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of this city." And while he lingered, the men lay hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, "Escape for thy life, look not behind thee," you can underline that, "neither stay thou in all the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed." And Lot said unto them, "Oh, not so, my Lord. Behold now, thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. But I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold now, this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one, and my soul shall live?" And the angel said unto him, "See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither." Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. And the sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. And verse 24 says, "Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And He overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground." Look at verse 26. "But His wife looked back from behind Him, and she became a pillar of salt." And that's where we'll stop tonight. You know, as we come to Genesis chapter number 19, I've studied it the past 2 or 3 weeks. And this is a passage that sometimes you don't want to preach. This is a passage that sometimes a lot of preachers try to skip over because it shows a side of God that nobody wants to see. It shows a side of God that really we don't want to talk about. Because right here in Genesis chapter number 19, God has just wiped out not only an entire city, Sodom and Gomorrah, but there were 3 other cities in that plain that God also wiped out here. And nobody likes to talk about this side of God in 2019. Because a lot of people will look at this, even Christians, even us, and say, well, God just doesn't really do that anymore. That's not the same God that we have today. God doesn't judge sin like that anymore in the New Testament. But if you go to the New Testament and you go to Matthew chapter number 27, you will find that Jesus Christ is hanging on a cross. And what is that? That was the judgment of Almighty God on your sin, and on my sin. So God judged sin in the Old Testament the same way He did in the New Testament. And I thank God that my sins were judged on a place called Mount Calvary. Because I told you last week, we deserve to be in Sodom. And if it wasn't for the grace of God, you and I would have grew up in Sodom. And we'd have been destroyed. But Jesus was judged for our sins on Calvary. And I'm thankful for that. But you know, God is our Father. And He's a good Father. But you know, when children act up, it is the father's duty to discipline them. If you don't discipline your child, you are considered a bad father. And you know, God is our Father. And when we act up as His children made in the image of God, there comes a time where He has to intervene. There come a time where He has to judge the sin of not only His children, but also the sin of people that have turned their backs on Him like they did in Sodom. But you know, Paul said in the world today, and I believe Paul spoke of our world in 2019 when he said this, the last days. Because this is what Paul said concerning the last days. He said, in the last days, people are going to turn their ears away from the truth. They're going to turn their ears to people having itching ears. That's what Paul said. In other words, they're going to turn their ears away from this Bible right here and go to churches to where the churches just want to tickle your ears and tell you what feels good, tell you what makes you feel good. And that's exactly what's happening today. I told him the other week in one of the meetings that we were having, I said, don't be deceived by all these churches that have 5,000 members that show up every Sunday. There's a reason why 5,000 people show up there every Sunday. Amen. Because all they're doing is just tickling. There's one popular preacher that you'll find on TV every single night. And he said this. They said, why don't you preach on sin? He said, well, people are already down enough. I don't want to put them down anymore. And let me tell you something. People are already down enough. I agree. But if we don't preach on sin, guess what? If you don't know you're a sinner, you will not know you need a Savior. That's the first step of me getting saved, is realizing I was a sinner and I needed somebody to come and save me. That's why I can stand up there and preach that you and I are sinners, because we need to know that we are, because if we don't, we won't need a Savior. But can I tell you, you're a sinner and I'm a sinner, and because of that, I knew I needed a Savior and I turned to Jesus. Somebody's got to preach this Bible. Whether it's Genesis 19 or whether it's Ephesians chapter number 2, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. That's what I like about that verse. So whether you're in Leviticus, it's profitable. Whether you're in Romans, every single bit of Scripture is profitable. And today we'll find in our Scripture reading that we had today in the book of Genesis chapter number 19, we'll find that Almighty God poured out His judgment on that evil city called Sodom and Gomorrah. And why did He do that? Because God is just and because God is holy. That's why He did that. And this city had completely turned their backs on God the same way our country has done today. And God came and He destroyed this city about 4,000 years ago. But there's just a few things that I want you to see tonight before we end. The first thing I want you to see in our text tonight is the escape of the saved. The escape of the saved. Now, you remember, the angels come to the city. They're searching for 10 righteous people. But by the end of the night, you'll find that there's homosexuals everywhere. You'll find that literally the whole city is there waiting to do this, basically the fornication there with the angels that have come, and they are men. And the angels come and they smite them with blindness, and they look at Lot and they say, it's time that you get out of this city, because we now see that this city is totally turned over to sin, totally turned their backs on God. And they're about to destroy this city. And they look at Lot and say, it's time that you get up out of this place. But I want you to see, it was night when the angel said, Lot, get out. Lot, get out. And yet we see in the next verse, I think it's verse 16, the Bible says, he lingered. Verse 15 says, it was now morning. Let me tell you something. If an angel comes to me and Monica's house tonight and shows up and says, Justin, we are getting ready to destroy Dallas, North Carolina. It's time for you to get up and get out. I would not look at Monica, I don't think, and say, you still want to sleep? I'm kind of tired. Well, we'll leave in the morning. I think I would look at her and say, honey, get the dog, we leaving. And we would be up out of there that night, Brother Danny. The angels come to Lot and say, it's time for you to get out. God's about to destroy this city. And the Bible says it was morning. And he still wasn't leaving. So there's a sub-point that I want you to see under that is, I didn't put it in there, but the first sub-point that I want you to see is a subtle delay. A subtle delay. The Bible says that Lot was lingering around in Sodom. In other words, it looks to me like in our text, Lot did not really want to leave. Because you see, if you study Scripture, you'll find out that Sodom was a pretty wealthy place. Sodom was rich. Sodom had it all going on. Sodom looked just like Las Vegas. They had money everywhere, fame everywhere, fortune everywhere, everything's going good, and Lot has been there for 20 years. Lot has obtained all these possessions. Probably he's gotten rich by now. He's already rich before he went, but now he's got the wealth of the world. And the angels come and say, I know you've been here 20 years, but it's time that you get out of this city. And all night, I believe he's looking around his house saying to his daughters, all right, girls, we need to get everything that we can and get out of here. And his wife is probably mad that they're even having to leave, because he's got all this stuff. I want you to just, you realize that? Lot literally risked his life of being judged by God because he would rather stay there and get all of his stuff than leave. Jesus said it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. In other words, what Jesus was saying is, you can get into heaven being rich, but he's saying it's going to be real hard because you got all this stuff and you're saying, I don't need God. Look at this car. God didn't give me that car. I got it. Look at this house I got. Look at all this stuff we got that me and my family's got. We don't need God until they come to the end of their life and they realize all that stuff means absolutely nothing. Because you can't take it with you, can you? But Lot is literally risking his life because he's got so much stuff and he does not want to leave. The judgment of God was literally coming on that city and he said, let's just wait around a little bit longer. Second thing I want you to say that under that subpoint is not only the subtle delay, but the supernatural deliverance. The supernatural deliverance, and that's what I like in verse 16. The Bible says, while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hands. So these angels literally grabbed Lot, his wife, and his two daughters and said, get out. And he literally took them out of this city and carried them away to another city that was safe. Because the angels were tired of literally Lot just standing there lingering around there saying, all right, boys, we need to get this guy and get him out of here. They literally take their hand and say, get out, and they take him to another city. Now, I was thinking today, I don't know about you, but I sure am thankful that when I was in the muck, the mire, the dirtiness of this world, that there was a hand there to pull me out. Because I told you earlier, if it wasn't for the grace of God, you and I would be in Sodom. And I sure am thankful for the hand that came way down for me one day and pulled me out of that mess that I was in. And I thank God for it. And that's exactly what happened here with Lot. They transported him from a city of sin to a city of safety. And I want you to realize today that Lot and his family did not deserve to be delivered to a city of safety, but the grace of God reached down and said, because you're one of my children, I'm going to take you out to a city that you can be safe. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to the day when God reaches His hand down and He takes His children out of this city that's filled with sin and takes us to a city that is safe. Because right here, I believe, is a picture of the rapture in the Old Testament. The Bible says in the New Testament that Lot was saved. God was getting ready to judge Sodom. But before God judged Sodom, He delivered the saved people and brought them to a place where they could be safe from the judgment of God. And can I tell you, there is coming a day, if you'll read the back of your book, when God is going to judge this world again. But can I tell you, before God judges this world, He is going to come back for His children, take them out of this city, and bring them to a new city. And I don't know about you. Lot might have, I don't think he was getting sick of Sodom. But I don't know about you. Sometimes I get pretty sick of this world. And I sure am ready for Jesus to step out on that cloud and take us to the brand new world that He's prepared for us. And there's coming a day where He's going to do exactly that. Where He's going to step out and bring His children to a place of safety. Now, I want you to look at verse 22 because it interested me as I was reading it this week. Verse 22. They already brought Lot out here and they basically said, go to the mountain. And Lot said, how about I go to this town instead? And they were like, okay, as long as you're not out of this Sodom. Verse 22, the angels look at him and said, basically, haste thee, hurry up and escape. But look at this. For I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. In other words, the angel said, I cannot destroy this city until you're out of it. I want you to think about that. Lot, his presence in the city of Sodom prevented the judgment of God from coming. Do you realize that? The angel said, I can't send God's judgment until you're gone because you're one of His children and you're not going to endure the wrath of God like everybody else will. That's just one person that they said, I can't destroy it. I want you to think about, we've got a whole group of saved people in here today. There's a whole group of saved people in America today. And people have asked this question for hundreds of years. And today's 9/11. 18 years since 9/11, 2001. And you can look at that however you want to. Most people see it as the judgment of God on America. But 2001, 9/11 changed America so much from that time. That was when America began to make a downslide all the way down to where we are today in 2019. Things began to change that very day. And people have asked this question ever since that day when the Christians have seen that America's turned away from God so quickly. Why hadn't God destroyed America yet? People ask that all the time. Go to Las Vegas. It's way worse than Sodom. Go to California, Los Angeles, San Francisco. Way worse than Sodom. So why in the world hadn't God destroyed America yet? You know what's holding back the judgment of God on America? We are. Lot held back the judgment of God in Sodom, and guess who's holding back the judgment of God on this world? His children. The reason He hadn't destroyed this world yet is because you and I are here. But as I told you, there's coming a day where He's going to take us out of this place. And then the Bible says in the book of Revelation, that's when He is going to judge this world. So I want you to see tonight, not only the escape of the saved, number two, the end of Sodom. The end of Sodom, verse 24. I want you to look at it. The first word in verse 24 is then. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. In other words, then. Once Lot was gone, then God poured out His judgment on this place. And I want you to notice something about this judgment. It was not an earthquake. It was not a volcano. It was not a tornado. It was not a tsunami. Because all those things I just mentioned to you are natural disasters. They are natural things that nature does in this world. The judgment that came on Sodom was not a natural disaster. It was a supernatural disaster. This fire did not come from somebody lighting a torch and lighting the city of Sodom on fire. This fire came from where? It came directly from heaven. This was a supernatural judgment of God. And verse 25 says, everybody in that city perished. He overthrew those cities and all the inhabitants of the cities. But the main thing that I do want you to see tonight is that God did not judge Sodom until the saved people were gone out of it. Because the Bible says God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. And once we've obtained salvation and His bride, His church, His people are in heaven, then the Bible says He will judge this world. And what's interesting about it is we always look at the judgment of God, and people go to Genesis 19 to see one of the worst judgments that's ever come on planet Earth. Because God judged Sodom and Gomorrah directly for their sin and wiped them out. But listen to what Jesus said about the judgment that is coming to this earth. Matthew 24:21, Jesus said, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Jesus said, great tribulation is coming in which the world has never seen anything like it. It is going to be the worst time in human history. The worst time in human history. There have been a lot of bad times in human history. The Holocaust. More than 2 million Jews were slaughtered, were killed because they were Jewish people. 2 million. That's a lot of people. World War II. You can look it up, and most people say that more than 50 million people were killed as the effects of World War II. 50 million people were killed by the effects of it. That's a lot of people. That was a bad time to be around. That's 52 million people right there that are wiped out in two times in history. But Jesus said it's not even going to compare to the time that's coming on planet Earth. When people ask, what is this world coming to? Go to the book of Revelation and see this world is coming to that. Because it's going to get a whole lot worse than it is right now. And I want you to see that in Revelation, the reason it's going to be so bad is because not only are there going to be natural disasters, like there will be earthquakes, there will be certain natural things going on, When you go to the back of the book, you'll see that it's not only natural judgments, it's supernatural judgments that are coming down directly from heaven. And I want you to see in verse 25, the Bible says that God wiped out those cities that were around Sodom and Gomorrah. And we're 4,000 years after that, and if you would go to Sodom and Gomorrah today, as I'll show you in a second, there's absolutely nothing there. That was the end of them. God wiped it out forever. And the Bible also says there's coming a time where God is going to wipe out this entire world. And He's going to bring down a new world from heaven called the New Jerusalem. And He'll start over. And He'll burn this old world to a crisp. And I want you to see, thirdly, not only the escape of the saved, the end of Sodom, but thirdly, I like this point, is the evidence of Scripture. The evidence of Scripture. Now, Sodom was a place to where when I went to Israel 2 years ago, we didn't get to go to where Sodom and Gomorrah was. But Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis 13, Lot describes it as a place that was absolutely beautiful. Lot said that it looks like what people talked about, the Garden of Eden. He heard about the Garden of Eden. He said, Sodom looks like the Garden of Eden. There's water everywhere, the Jordan River, the Dead Sea. It gives it a beautiful water supply. There's green grass for my sheep that they can eat freely. There's beautiful plains everywhere to where we can go and get good food. And it was one of the greatest places to live back in Abraham and Lot's day. But fast forward just a few years later, God wipes it out. God sends fire and brimstone from heaven to Sodom and Gomorrah. And now it is a place where the Bible says not one plant can grow on it. Not one plant can live in Sodom and Gomorrah. Not one fish can live there in the Dead Sea. That's what's interesting about the Dead Sea. There's no living. That's why it's called the Dead Sea. Nothing can live there. And the Dead Sea is the lowest place on planet Earth. It is 1,300 feet below sea level. The lowest place on planet Earth. And guess where Sodom was? Right there. If you see in the red, I know it's hard to see, but on the south side of the Dead Sea there, a little bit to the right, was a place called Sodom and Gomorrah. So one of the lowest places on Earth. That's kind of funny that Sodom and Gomorrah was at the lowest place on earth. And God destroyed it with fire and brimstone. But listen to what Moses said about 400 years after Sodom was destroyed. This is 400 years after. Moses said this in Deuteronomy 29:23. He said, and that whole land thereof is brimstone. In other words, it's still there. And salt, and burning that is not sown, nor beareth, nor any grass groweth therein. Moses said 400 years later, there's still not a speck of grass that grew in Sodom. Well, fast forward 2,000 years after that to the time of Jesus, the Apostle Peter is writing in his epistle, 2 Peter 2:6. He said this, and God turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes. And he used the word ashes. And what's funny about that, fast forward 2,000 years later to your day and my day in 2019, guess what Sodom and Gomorrah still is? Ashes. All around the city is ashes. And I want you to see this. That's a picture of Sodom and Gomorrah right there. And you say, well, that's not that interesting. I want you to look at that brown stone in the background. You see that? I think that's, let me see what it's called. Brown limestone is what that's called. It's all around Israel. If you go to Jordan, you'll find that type of rock, that type of stone. It's brown like that. But you come to Sodom, and you see absolutely nothing there that's the brown limestone. On the ground there, look what it is. It's all white. Because it's all been burnt to a crisp. And it's all ashes. And I watched a video just yesterday of people that went and visit the Holy Land. And there's a bunch of man-made structures there that look like pyramids. They look like the Egyptians of people building stuff that are still there. And you can walk up to it, and it looks exactly like stone from here. You wouldn't be able to tell it. But if you walk up to it, you can pinch off pieces of it. And as you begin to rub it together, it turns straight to ash in your hands. And what's interesting is they made an outline of it. You can't really see it on that, but still back there in the background, you see that brown stone. But right here on the ground, it's all white. And what's interesting about it is you can see the walls of the city where they used to be. And where the walls of the city stop, guess what starts over? The brown stone. So that white stops right here where the edge of the city was, and it starts over in brown. So So you'll see that this was not just something that happened. God looked at these cities and said, I'm going to judge you and nobody else. Because it stopped right there where the city stopped. And it's complete ashes over there 4,000 years later. And I want you to see another thing that's all around Sodom and Gomorrah. Those little things right there. Today we would call it sulfur. Sulfur. Everybody heard of sulfur, hadn't you? All around Sodom and Gomorrah, if you'll go and you can dig up some ground, you could even just look on the ground, and you can pick up some things. Scattered around the whole city are these little sulfur pellets. You know what sulfur was called 1,000 years ago? Brimstone. Brimstone and sulfur are the exact same thing. What's interesting is sulfur, if you find it anywhere that you find it, it's yellow. Sulfur is always yellow. But in Sodom, this sulfur is completely white. And most scientists have studied sulfur. Most of them around will tell you that sulfur is about 70 to 75% pure. Well, they brought back these little sulfur pellets from Sodom. You know what they found? They're 98 to 99% pure sulfur. You say, why is that? Because they didn't come from down here. They came from up there. So all around Sodom, you can see, if you go there today, evidence of exactly what God did there 4,000 years ago. Now, I don't need all that stuff to tell me that God did that, but it sure is nice to see, because God has left us an example to say 4,000 years ago, this is what I did. And everybody that goes there says it is the most sobering thing that they could ever see, to think about what God did to those people 4,000 years ago. And that's the last thing that I want to show you tonight. Not only the escape of the saved, the end of Sodom, the evidence of Scripture, but Genesis 19 is also an example to sinners. An example to sinners. I want you to listen to what Peter said. I read it a while ago. Peter said, "And God turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, He condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those after that should live ungodly." Peter said Sodom and Gomorrah was an example to people, to cities, and to nations all around this world, that if you live like the people in Sodom and Gomorrah did, God is going to judge that sin. Peter said that's an example. And you can look at America today. And as I told you last week, and I'll tell you again this week, the only reason God hadn't poured out His judgment on America yet is because you and I are here. We're living in a nation today that has totally turned their back on God from where it was 150 years ago. And it's beginning to look a whole lot like what the people looked like in Genesis 19. And Sodom is an example to people who do not accept God's offer of salvation and turn to Him. That's what Peter said. Peter said, if you don't turn to God and you live a life like the people of Sodom and Gomorrah did, Sodom is an example to you that God is going to judge sin the same way He judged it in Genesis 19. And I tell you that because it's very interesting. Peter said they're an example. So in other words, you're going to suffer the same judgment if you do those things. What's interesting, how did God destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? With fire and what? With fire and brimstone. What's interesting about that is fire and brimstone is mentioned in the New Testament. It's mentioned in the New Testament. We're in the first book of the Bible, and fire and brimstone is mentioned. If you go to the last book of the Bible, you know what's mentioned? Fire and brimstone. And guess what it is? It's the judgment of God pouring out on people who say no to Christ. See, the Bible says hell is not just a place that's called the lake of fire. In Revelation 19:10 and in Revelation 20:10, the lake of fire, hell, is called a lake of fire and brimstone. So the place that people go when they reject Christ is called a lake of fire and brimstone. You see, the same way God judged 4,000 years ago with fire and brimstone is the same way today that people in this city and in the hospital right up the street are dying every single day and are having to go through the judgment of Almighty God in fire and brimstone forever and ever and ever. And what I ask tonight is that God would give us a burden again for people who are literally dying and going to hell every single day. You and I can get wrapped up in a lot of things going on in our world today. There's so much that can take our minds and our hearts away from what's really important in this life. And what's really important in this life is the fact that you and your family are saved and are going to heaven. And God, help us to get a burden again for people who are literally dying off and going to this lake of fire every single day. Give the church a burden again to say, I care. That there's middle school students right up the road. Some of them won't make it to next year. There's high school students right up the road. Some of them won't make it to their senior year. And they don't know Christ. Because we're living in a generation today that's turned their back on God and has turned their back on Christ. And the fact of the matter is, if heaven's real, there has to be a hell. If hell's real, there has to be a heaven. You can't discount one or the other. And one of the scariest thoughts you'll ever have is the fact that there is a place called hell that God created, not intended for you and me, intended for the devil and his angels. But when people look at Christ and they drive by churches every single day and they say, I'm good. I don't need any of that religious stuff. Guess what? I don't need any religious stuff either. I just need Jesus. But in America today, there's a church on every single corner, especially in North Carolina. And people are driving by every day saying, I don't need any of that stuff. And they're looking at Christ and saying, I'm good. I don't need you. But God, help us to get a burden again, because somebody had a burden for you. Somebody had a burden for you. It might have been your mama and your daddy that prayed every day until the day you got saved. God, help us to get a burden for somebody else and pray until they come to the saving knowledge of Christ. Because hell is a real place. And if you're like me, I don't want any of my family or any of my friends going there. I don't. My preacher, I'll say this and I'll be done. My preacher preached the message. It was titled, Will Anybody in Hell Know Your Name? Will anybody in hell know your name? Because in Luke 16, the rich man that died and went to hell, he remembered Lazarus. He sat at his gate every single day. He remembered exactly who he was. And he preached, is anybody that's going to hell will know who you are? And God, help him not to say, I wish Justin would have told me that this place was real. I wish my mama and my daddy would have told me this place was real. And I wish my friend would have told me there was a real place called hell that I could never get out of. Don't let anybody in hell know your name. And if they know your name, help them to know that you gave them every chance to be saved. God, help us. And God will give us the courage that we need to be able to share the gospel. Because I don't know about you, I'm thankful for the gospel. If it wasn't for the gospel, I'd be in hell. And you'd be in hell. A place where we deserve, but thanks be unto God that His grace saved us. And He gave us eternal life. But help us to share it with our family, with our friends, and the people that are around us every day. Amen. Father, we come to You tonight and we thank You for the grace that's been poured out to us, Lord, because we really should have been in Sodom. Sometimes the way that we've acted against You, the way that we've turned our backs on You at times in our life, God, we should have been judged, but I thank You for that You're slow to anger, that You're a merciful God, that whoever asks for forgiveness, God, You're willing to give it. And thank You that every time we come to You and ask for the forgiveness of our sins, You are there to forgive us through the blood of Christ. But God, there's so many people that drive down the Hardin Road right here every single day, and they drive by our church, and they're living in their sin, and they're living in a place to where they don't know You. God, give us a burden for these people as the church of Jesus Christ, that we would come together, strive together for the faith of the gospel, put away all these things that really don't matter. And God, begin to think about an eternal destiny for our family and for our friends. Pray for them. Share the gospel with them. Thank You for the gospel that saved us. Thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ and His blood that was shed that we might be saved tonight. But God, help us to share that good news as we go out of this place. And God, bring us back together on Sunday to worship You. Meet with us in a special way. And Lord, we sure do love You, but we thank You for first loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. Alrighty, well I think we're 7:46. I went 1 minute over.
Mm.